At least we sound good. I mean, we've just had quite an experience happen to us. You know, just before we were about to land our entire podcast.
Yeah. What happened? Welcome to Production 101.
Tell us.
Welcome to South Africa.
Happened.
101. Our favorite
friend
is Eskom. We love you, Eskom. You are everything.
Eskom, we love you. Thank you for coming in right at the very climax of our story.
Just when we're about to land.
Just when we're about to land. Touch down and load shedding.
I was just like, what it do?
The episode that was affected by load shedding and we lost everything. An hour of rolling time, but you know what?
It's okay. An hour of our creative, of our cognitive property, but it's fine.
I mean, like, people would have paid good money for all of that. Like, a lot of money, and now here's us sitting here going, cool, we're just diving back into it. And you know what? This is probably one of the reasons, if I didn't go to therapy, I probably would have behaved so badly.
You,
I would have run
both
out of here. Yeah, exactly.
You
would have run
both
out of here crying. I was fighting back the tears. I was sitting there going, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry. You need to be professional. You're like sitting here with a therapist. She's going to think you've got major issues.
The therapist is busy trying to get herself together.
The therapist is busy having a hot flash. She's like breaking out in hives. She's like, it's cool, it's cool. And I'm like, who are you trying to convince?
It's not
me
cool,
or
it's
you?
Not
like,
cool.
We're not okay right now. I'm sitting here. I'm like, I need to phone my therapist. Yo, 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 what is up, you candid little kittens? Welcome back to Straight Up Candid, a podcast with your host, CLG the Great. You know, Straight Up Candid is a safe and spicy space for us to get down and, you know, talk a little dirty and deep about all things candid. From sex, love, cringe stories, self-help tools, dating advice, to dysfunctions, all the taboo topics, uncomfortable conversations. Yep, we're unpacking it all. And we're not holding back on any of the spice, and we're spilling all the tea. We're back for episode 3 of Straight Up Candid. And before I introduce my wonderful guest and the topic for tonight's episode, I just wanted to say that I am so incredibly grateful for the support I've been receiving thus far. I have received so much love since I launched this podcast, and it's been pretty overwhelming. So I just wanted to say thank you to everybody who chooses to listen to my voice every second week at home, in your car, at work, wherever you may be listening from. Thank you for joining me on this really special journey. And without further ado, on tonight's episode, I have my dear queen of a friend, the exceptional Nobile M, who is a qualified clinical psychologist currently registered with HBCSA. Nobile has experience in practicing in the public and private sector and is currently at a private practice in Mshlanga, and she also offers online sessions via Zoom. Tonight, we unpack the journey of healing from emotionally abusive relationships. We identify what a gaslighter really is and how to spot narcissistic behavior. This episode is one that's near and dear to my heart as we touch on some of my own personal experiences with emotionally abusive relationships. This is just a disclaimer that this episode comes with a content and trigger warning of emotional abuse. This is simply to empower you, our audience, with the knowledge you need to make healthy decisions about how and if you should consume this podcast content. So without any further delays, grab a big glass of vino, sit back, relax, and get ready to dig deep with Nobile and I.
It's a new episode.
Brand new episode.
Let's do this.
Let's do this. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. Do it. Do it. That's going to be like the jingle. I need like a little
You've
intro.
Been wanting a jingle.
We've been wanting a jingle. Welcome to Straight Up Candid.
Ooh.
Ooh. Up. Shoot.
Shoo up.
Well, I mean, there we go. We have our brand new jingle. So you guys are here. Welcome back to Straight Up Candid. And tonight we have a very special guest.
Yay.
Nobile M is in the building.
Yes, girl. Oh, I love it when you say my name.
Nobile M. I said it right. You know what? It's the Eastern Cape in me that's coming out. I'm so excited that I can say
my name.
Say my name. Say my name. Your eyes sound so good. I feel like I'm a real singer when I come on here.
I think so too. I feel like there might be, if there's any record labels
Listen
here. Yeah, listen. Like, we're available, y'all. I mean.
We come as a duo, though.
Hi, guys. My name is Ngobile M, and I am a fully qualified, certified clinical psychologist currently in private practice around the Durban North Umhlanga area. Mm. And I'm available for online therapy as well.
In the comfort of your own home.
The comfort of your own home, in your pajamas, downstairs, upstairs,
in the garage, in the garden, in the pool, with your phone on FaceTime if you want. Anything you doing, you have no reason why you shouldn't have to book a session.
We bring therapy to you, so you have no excuse. Exactly. Excuse whatsoever.
And Nobile has just launched her own podcast called Becoming.
Yes, Becoming by Nobile M. Please check that out.
Please check it out and subscribe to her YouTube channel and her
Spotify.
Podcast.
Yes, we're on Spotify. We are on Apple Music now. Literally just this morning, yes. I just got the email.
Congrats.
I promise you. Literally, I think just 5 minutes ago, actually.
That is amazing.
And we're on YouTube. So definitely check it out if you're looking for some mental health content.
It's so good. We love to see it. Her and her husband. Well, you recently got married,
y'all. I guess if I have a husband now, it's so
husband.
Husband.
As baby. Shout out to my ones.
Shout out to the world's greatest husband in the whole world.
The king and queen.
You know.
The king and queen of the 031. Guys, if you want to see goals, Just go and have a look at Mobile M and Rugged Eyes.
Thank you so much for having me, friend.
Angel, I'm so stoked. You've been waiting.
I've been low-key, like.
We've been waiting.
Make her call me Jesus.
And you know what? Like, when I first met Mobile last year sometime, we were at a food event.
Yes. Because we love food.
We love food. Oh, we love the food. We love to eat. And I was like, oh, I absolutely love this girl. And then shout out to our friend Jess.
Yes, we love Jess. AKA Smiles. You know what?
She is literally everything. She is my hype girl. She is everything for me. I love her to death. She reintroduced us because she was like, you have to work on this project just not be there. So we worked on a project last year together.
An amazing project.
It was so much fun.
Yeah.
And we got to do a really, really, really cool shoot. And then I was like, you know what? I was actually really sad after the project because I was like, is this going to be the last time I get to work with you?
No, not.
And then, like, sort of like within a week, you launched your podcast. And then shortly after that, I launched mine. And we were like, we're doing all the things. And you were like, this is our year. And I was like, yes,
it's our year to be heard. I know I said this just now, but I'm going to say it again. I'm so proud of us. I'm so proud of our generation. I'm proud of the fact that we are putting ourselves out there. We are speaking about speaking about things that are taboo, about non-conventional things. We are reckless. We are ruthless. We are hungry. I am so proud of us, friend. Like,
I love it.
You know what?
And I just want more people to do this. Like, I know, like, we're just two people in, like, the grand scheme of things doing something like this, but, like, I just want to inspire other people to be able to step out of their comfort zone and just speak and be heard, because everyone has a story.
Yes.
Everyone has something to teach someone. Yeah. Everyone has something to learn. So this is really important. And I mean, like, you guys need to go listen to Nobile's podcast and YouTube channel, because she speaks about all things mental health. I mean, she did an episode on the Tinder Swindler, which I absolutely loved. It made me go watch the Tinder Swindler. Yes, I did.
That's great.
So, cause I don't know the big harp about it. I'm like, I mean, I've been an avid Tinder Swindler. You almost called myself a Tinder person. I've been an avid Tinder user for a long time now, but it made me actually go on and watch this, and I was like, oh my gosh. She like really tapped into.
Guys, it's scary, actually.
Yo, I'm telling you, I dated a Tinder swindler. You know that.
No, scary stuff, actually.
I'm telling you, girl, you don't even understand. I've dated a lot of characters. I've dated a lot of interesting people in my life, and this is sort of like me diving into this interesting conversation that we were having earlier. Oh, we were really interrupted briefly.
Yes, actually.
But we're not going to hop on the past too much. just to give you a high level we were an hour into recording, and then
Eskom happened.
Our friend Eskom.
Because welcome to South Africa.
Ishkom.
Because welcome to SA.
Welcome to
we
SA.
Love it here. We love it here.
Beautiful. It's so, like, so PG.
We love it when Eskom comes and rudely interrupts us and then we have to redo a whole hour.
An entire hour. And you know what? We got real deep. But you know what? We're just going to like
it's okay.
dive back into it. We move. We keep going because you know what? Time
waits
for no one.
That's just what we do.
We just keep going and we are. It was like the preliminary therapy session before the podcast. Yeah. So we're just going to call it the therapy. You can send me the invoice later.
But I love that that happened though. Funny enough.
It was good.
I actually love that it did happen because
it was like an icebreaker.
Yes. Besides that, like, it makes you realize that, listen, this is life. Okay.
Shit happens.
This is life. Like, I could have rudely got up and walked out of here and be like,
like a real Beyonce. Deuces, not a Beyonce.
You know,
Beyonce,
but because I know that this is life and these things happen and it's going to happen to me one day when I have you on as a guest, you know, and I'm hoping that you treat me nice.
Oh, 100%. I just sit there and be like, okay, I'm going to get us an Americano and we're just going to breathe and we're going to meditate, we're going to pray and we're going to be cool.
And we're going to be okay, but that's life. You
literally.
Know? That's life. And I like the fact that we can now use that
as ammunition.
Yes. And bring it into this episode's topic as well, that you know what, life doesn't always go as planned.
It doesn't.
And sometimes we stop.
Absolutely doesn't.
But what matters is that after you stop, you
keep going.
That first gear again.
And you
clash
just
balance
keep,
again.
Clutch.
Clutch balance again. And
you'll
keep
start,
moving.
Keep moving.
Keep
and you know what, we are going to keep
moving. We're
going to
keep
moving. And you know what, I'm seriously so excited to have Nobile on the show today because she,
same.
We've had, we, I mean, we've already like dived, listen to me. We've already dove into a lot of this. Mm. And I'm just excited to rehash it because we've spoken about it, but like, I'm really excited to rehash all of this. And I know, I mean, I mentioned that I was a Tinder user, but pre my Tinder using, I've been in a, I've been in my third year, like I'm in my third year of therapy now.
Yeah.
And, I, did not know that I needed therapy until I started. I mean, who knows that
who
they
knows
need therapy that? Until they get to go to therapy. And until you realize, like, you're okay, this is actually...
I
this
need
is
professional
so,
help with this
I need,
one.
I need professional help. I need to unpack some things. Yeah. And now, going to my third year, I'll give my therapist an alias. We'll call her Michelle. I've developed such a beautiful relationship with her. And, like, I just feel like it's been the best thing I've ever done. And, you know...
Shout out to Michelle.
Shout out to Michelle. It's not her real name. But as a form of protection, I'm going to call her Michelle today. And it made me realize that everyone should go to therapy.
Yeah.
And this is why I have you on the show.
Yeah.
Because we're going to identify some pretty interesting things. Things that I have personally experienced and things that you've been dealing with.
Listen,
you've.
I always say I call myself the therapist in therapy.
Yes.
Because I'm a therapist in therapy because I believe in it that much. Mm-hmm. I believe in it that much.
Everyone needs it.
Yes. No, 100%. Because, you know, we're people. We're not a fixed thing. We're continuously changing. We're continuously learning things about ourselves,
unlearning things about ourselves.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Seeing ourselves through the eyes of different experiences that we may have personally experienced. And we see ourselves again through the experiences of our parents and of our grandparents.
Our ancestors.
You know, and of our ancestors. And that's where stuff like generational trauma comes in.
Oh my gosh, that's a whole different thing.
That's a whole different
That's a whole different podcast.
You know, but we realize that we need things like therapy. You need something to actually remind you to return to the self, to listen to the self, because everything pours out from you. And if you're not taking care of that, and if you're not investing in that relationship, then you're going to find yourself being defined by everything and anything but you.
And I think when you say defined, is that like by how other people perceive you?
Yes.
Like they're seeing you through their lens, and that's how they're sort of conditioning you to believe that how you are.
Yeah.
Is that what you mean by that?
That's exactly what I mean by that. I know that I'd spoken about this earlier, that, you know, when we take it back to the essence of human beings, and whether you are a believer of whatever it is that you may believe in, you know, if there's one common thing about human beings is that we were meant to coexist. Mm. We were not meant to live in isolation. We were meant to be around people. That's why when somebody gives birth, the baby will literally go through a phase of mimicking whatever the parent does. You know, I have a cousin of mine just gave birth. I think the child just turned 2 weeks ago. So it's been it's a baby. We calling a baby a child.
Yeah. Anyway. A child. Oh my goodness.
It's a human, okay? It's a little human. That's
a real
that
human being. And with the brain and heart.
With the brain and
which
heart.
Which is what we're attracted to. Hopefully. Hopefully with the whole brain. I mean, I don't know about my exes. I'm kidding. No shade to my exes. Shout out. Love you.
Not shout really. Out. No, we don't do that.
We don't do that.
But it's been so beautiful to me. To actually witness how my cousin's son literally mimics
his parents.
Everything that the people that are around him does. So like, so it's so weird actually. That like, if I spend, say, a considerable amount of time with him, say like half a day with him,
yeah.
when he gets home, he's speaking like how I'm speaking, or like he's doing you know, so it's almost like he copies and pastes. So, but that actually shows you the nature or the psychology of human behavior, that number one, we're meant to coexist. We're not meant to live in isolation, that mm-hmm. we need people, and that there's that natural desire to constantly want to be in relation with people, be it a good relationship or a bad relationship, be it a parent-child, be it a friendship, be it a romantic relationship. But there's always that instinct desire to always want to be with people. And because of that, because we always want to be around people, we also always want to be acceptable around the people that we want to be with or that we want to be around. You're constantly trying to, you know, adjust yourself to fit into certain situations so that, you know, my friends like me, and so that I'm speaking the language of my friends. I'm constantly trying to evolve my character knowingly or unknowingly so that I can be able to, you know, be able to relate to different people. I'm constantly trying to be a particular person. Because we all know, like, the same person that you are when you're with your parents is not necessarily the same person that you'll be with your best friend or your acquaintances.
I mean, we're
constantly adjusting.
Yes, we're adaptable.
Yes,
humans are adaptable.
Exactly. We're adaptable human beings. So whenever we speak about human behavior, I always want to start by highlighting that fact first. And that's going to tie in as well with the topic that that we have today, which you're going to introduce just now.
Exactly.
But I just wanted to pause there and just be like, you know what? That's how the psychology of the human mind works.
And it's funny you say that, because I've been in, and I know I mentioned this earlier, but I've been in a lot of relationships. Not a lot, but like three particular long-term relationships that like really formed my like early adult life. You know, I was in a relationship from the age of 17 and then to 18, and then we broke up, and then from 18 to 22, and then from 22
That's
to 26. And they were very, very, it was like 9 years or almost 10 years of relationships. Yeah. And each relationship was very different, but it really formed the way I saw relationships.
Shaped
me. It altered my behavior to certain things. Some behaviors I developed in my first relationship, then I sort of followed that through to the second one, and then those ones, some of them I left behind, and then some of them they became worse, and then I took that into my last most recent relationship. And then after that, I had this like really awful feeling about myself. So after my last relationship, I had such an awful feeling, and maybe that was,
it's okay.
Yeah. A little bit of, you know, we're not going to go too much into that, but maybe it was a little bit of abuse, emotional abuse, you know, many other kinds of abuse. We're not going to tap into today, but we're going to highlight the emotional abuse, and we're going to highlight where people can understand, you know, what it is, what are the indicators, at what
does
point,
it look like?
What does it look like? Because what I see as abuse or emotional abuse or any kind of abuse is may look very differently to you because of your upbringing.
Because of my experiences.
Exactly.
As well,
your experiences.
And my tolerance.
100%.
Yeah.
I had such a high tolerance for things that were completely deal breakers to like absolute deal breakers to other people. And when I came out of that, I realized that I had been conditioned to think that everything that I was enduring and going through was okay.
Was normal. Yeah.
I mean, when somebody I met, had a brief relationship with in the last 2 years, showed me a different side of what a relationship should feel like and should be like and how I should be treated and loved and cared for, I was like, why are you being so nice to me? I don't deserve this. And then I had
jeopardized.
Then I was like, I still sabotage the whole relationship. Like 100%.
We know that story, girl. Definitely. I've been through that a couple of times.
Exactly. Definitely a big regret of mine, because I was conditioned to think that I don't deserve this kind of love. I don't deserve this kind of treatment. I'm more deserving of like an emotionally abusive or gaslighting narcissistic. Yeah. These are all the things we're going to talk about today. Yeah. Person. And so when I saw real love, I wasn't ready for it, clearly.
It was scary.
It was terrifying. I was 6 months into therapy when I met this person. This really nice, amazing person. Mm. And because I wasn't ready, I wasn't at that point of self-awareness and I wasn't healed and I hadn't unlearned bad behaviors that I self-sabotaged that relationship because I wasn't ready. But that's okay.
I want to take it back a bit again. I like the fact that, you're calling it emotional abuse because let's call it that if that's what it feels like to you.
Face value.
You know?
Exactly.
And again, you touched on the fact that what you may see as abuse might not be, what I see as abuse, which is 100% correct. And, that's why I always say that, you know, abuse, there is no one answer for what is emotional abuse, especially with emotional abuse. Cause like with physical abuse, we all know what that is. With sexual abuse, we all know what that is. But with emotional abuse, there's a lot of gray areas and there's a lot of, depending on how you were raised.
And there's a lot of misuse of the word.
There's a lot of misuse of the word. So you always end up feeling like, oh, maybe there's, oh, it's just an argument, you know?
Yeah.
So I like the fact that you're actually calling it, for what it is. And that's very important. And that's always the biggest, most important step in therapy, to be able to name the things that you're struggling with so that you know what it is that you're dealing with. You know, I know that you asked me earlier on, what does emotional abuse look like? Or how can you tell when you're in an emotionally abusive relationship? And I told you that I can't answer that because the answer is not one set answer. But I told you that for me personally, in my 8 years of experience as in training and practicing as a psychologist, what I always tell my clients is that the minute it makes you feel like you are compromising who you are, the minute it makes you feel like you are being drawn away from the essence of who you are, the minute it makes you feel like you are doubting yourself, like your reality is unreal, the minute it makes you feel like you're not worthy or that you're ugly, or that there's something wrong with you, or that there's something wrong with your what you've been with, or that the minute it makes you feel like there's something wrong with how you're thinking things and how you perceiving things, the minute it upsets you and it puts you off balance in your relationship with yourself, that is emotional abuse.
And that is exactly the point when I realized that I needed therapy. Mm. I did exactly that. Yeah. I didn't feel comfortable with myself.
Yeah.
I didn't like who I was. Mm. I was losing the true essence of who I was.
Mm.
And I felt like I was so far removed from the person that I knew that I had the capability of being.
Becoming, yeah.
I looked at myself in the mirror and I didn't like anything about myself. I didn't like the way I looked. I didn't like the way I acted. I didn't like the way my hair fell. I didn't like the clothes I was wearing. Anything about myself.
Yeah.
I mean, I always looked after myself and I was always well kept and well groomed.
Yeah.
But there were parts of me that I didn't recognize.
That you started seeing in a different light.
In a totally different light.
Mm.
And I started seeing all of the insecurities that I had that were highlighted by my partner or by other people.
Mm.
And then I was like, there's so much about me that I didn't like. And then that's when I realized, I need help.
Yeah.
And so I called one of my friends, and she'd been suggesting it for a little while. And she held my hand throughout the whole process.
We love this friend.
We love her.
Friend,
we love
you're
her.
The best.
I know you're listening to this because you love listening to my podcast, and I'm so grateful for you.
That.
So we appreciate you. And she held my hand. She actually helped me find a therapist, went through my medical aid and did all the whole thing with me. And, you know, phoned me before my therapy and it was, and you were saying earlier, the hardest part about going to therapy is actually deciding to go to it and committing to it. And there were so many times in that moment where I was like, cool, I booked my first, I booked my first session. It was like a Wednesday morning and it was like a first thing in the day. And I like got into my car and unfortunately it's just down the road from where I live. And I like got into my car and I got to the therapist and I opened the door. And then I was like, oh no, I can't do this.
Yeah.
I can't do this.
And then, like, maybe let me go to the gym instead.
Yeah. Let me rather just go and like eat my feelings, or let me just rather go and like get drunk at like 9 a.m. in the morning. But I sat down. Exactly. It's so much easier. It's easier to run away from those problems. It's easier to escape. It's easier to be, I'm okay. It's fine. I'm just going to brush under the rug.
Keep it moving.
But I was so tired of brushing my feelings and my experiences and everything under the rug and ignoring it. Yeah. And then that manifested into toxic behaviors, toxic responses, the way that I would treat my partner, the way I would treat my parents, my family, myself, the way I would look at myself and speak to myself, because the inner, the personal dialogue that you have with yourself is so important, right?
It is.
It's so important.
Everything flows from that. So if that's distorted, anything that's going to come out of that is going to manifest and it's going to produce distorted stuff as well.
Exactly. Whether it's your work, your relationships,
maladaptive in everything. Oh. If you're pouring from an unproductive space, everything that's going to come out of that as well,
it's going to be unproductive.
Exactly.
And negative, and have negative responses, negative outlooks, negative rewards out of it. I mean,
negative rewards. I love the fact that you spoke about how it made you alter the way that you see yourself. Oof. And I like the fact that you were open with the fact that you actually started seeing yourself through the lens of this person.
Exactly.
Because,
which again, I didn't like at all.
You're obviously not going to like it because you know that that's not who I am. Mm. Something inside you knows that that's not who I am.
I mean, you know.
Yes. But because there's something in you that's one, and remember that as well, being in a relationship is not a bad thing. Giving your all in a relationship is not a bad thing. You know, just because maybe what you get out of that is not good, or does not carry the true essence of what a real or like a loving relationship is supposed to be. Like, it doesn't take away the fact that at the end of the day, you went into this thing looking for love, looking for comfort, looking for companionship.
Exactly.
And you acted in a way that resembled that. You were loving, you were open, you were willing to compromise.
And because I gave
that's
it my
where it
all.
Starts.
Yeah.
It starts with the compromise.
Exactly.
It starts with saying, oh, you know what? My partner doesn't really like the gym that much. You know, he says that he doesn't like how certain guys act at the gym. And I love gym. Like, old me loves gym. Like, I love taking care of myself. I love it when I'm wearing
those. But my partner doesn't.
So, you know what? Maybe gym is not that important. Hey, I actually understand what he says when he speaks about, yeah, those guys from the gym do lurk around. And it does mean, you know what? Yeah, no, let's ignore that. Yeah, let's ignore that, you know.
Let's gym at home.
Yes, let's gym at home.
Making
let's
the small, tiny little tweaks.
Yes, yes. You know what? I realized that my partner doesn't really wear a lot of black, you know.
Yeah.
So maybe he doesn't like the color black. And you know what? Actually, 90% of my clothes are black, but maybe black is really not that great.
Maybe it's not my color.
Maybe it's not my color, you know. Maybe it doesn't match with my skin tone. So maybe let me introduce other things, you know. Maybe you like I love going on solo dates and just taking a book and just going to try out different coffee spots.
Yes.
That's my form of therapy.
That's your form of therapy and your me time. It's your me time.
Yes, and my me time. But you know what? I think my partner's not really 100% comfortable with me going around to unfamiliar places by myself. And actually, it really, really isn't that much of a big deal. Like, I could always just read a book at home and just cuddle up in the couch. So, and you know what? I'm actually going to be saving a lot of money from like not going.
So you start making it better in your head.
So you start
justifying
making
it.
Yes, you start making it your reality. You start proving him right or her right or it right. Then you start creating your world around how the other person views you, how the other person thinks about you. You become them because remember that. In relationships, we give and we take.
Yeah.
And remember I said that relationships are a good thing. It's good to desire to be in a relationship.
That's what we're designed to do.
Yes. But there are some people, depending on, you know, their own cognitive spaces, their own personality traits, their own backgrounds or upbringings that are not as emotionally inclined to be able to create and sustain interpersonal relationships that actually go both ways.
Yeah.
So that's how you get people with some personality disorders, you know, some sociopathic behaviors and stuff like that, because they're also desiring to be with someone. It's just that their desire is coming from a maladaptive wanting to destroy, wanting to control, wanting to have a power dynamic over the other person. Like, that's where the essence comes from. And that's a whole different ballgame. That's a whole different conversation on its own. But remember that then we go out, then we're all in the same space, then we're all in the same environment. Then a healed person and an unhealed person, a maladaptive person and an unmaladaptive person, if there's a word like that.
We'll just go with it today.
Are all in the same space. So then we all get exposed to each other and then we all attract each other as well. And then there's things about you that will make you more inclined to attract somebody like me who is a gaslighter or who is a narcissist, because maybe there's some things that happened in your childhood or in your upbringing that made you desensitized to having somebody who speaks
and normalized
having somebody who speaks ill about you and somebody you know who makes you feel like you're not
treats
worthy.
You a certain way.
Yes,
yeah.
And maybe because you grew up in a family setting where that was normal, when you go out into the dating space or into the getting to know people's
naturally
space,
you're naturally
going to be inclined to attract the same thing, because that's what's normal to you. That's, you feel safe in that environment because that's what you know.
Which is so ironic.
Yeah.
Because it's such an unsafe place to be.
Yeah.
And I like to believe, like, I love that you mentioned the word narcissistic and gaslighters. Mm. I like to believe, and, you know, maybe there's a part of my childhood that I blocked out, but I know that I grew up in a very loving family. Mm. And
you wouldn't be this great.
Yeah. The great. CLG, the great. And my parents were still alive and they're still together. And they were very loving, incredible people. And they never made me feel like I lacked any love or support in my love. Mm. I mean, in my life. And so when it came to identifying why do I attract people that are alike, you know, because all of my relationships have been pretty similar. Mm. Like, I am friends with some of my exes, you know, actually really good friends and on really great talking terms, because I don't believe in enemies and having, you know, bad blood with anybody. Mm. And I pride myself in that. But what I notice is you know, in their relationships, they were all sort of very similar. I became so, and I know human beings are adaptable, but like, I became so overly adaptable, like overly compromised, everything that
overly
I believed in. I mean, I moved halfway across the world from New York back to South Africa for a person. I moved from Cape Town to Durban for a person. Mm. You know, everything that they wanted was like the be all and end all. Mm. And because I put my needs and my wants aside, I neglected myself and my own sort of like self-emotional journey, my own healing in whatever it was.
Yeah.
And jumping from relationship to relationship for almost 9 years didn't allow me to really go and reflect on what I had learned and what I had, you know, been
and what
through.
You were looking for.
What I was looking for.
What
I never knew what I was looking for. Now, I mean, I've been single for over 2 years now, and I think it's all by choice.
Mm.
I don't think. I know it's by choice because I'm not willing to settle for something that has previously brought out the worst in me and brought out behaviors that I have been unlearning for the last almost 3 years with my therapist. Yeah. And I think now, I think I've reached a different level of maybe emotional healing or whatever it is, or enlightenment, or whatever it is that you like to call it. And I think that's taken a long time. Like I was saying earlier how 2020 was all about unlearning behavior for me and identifying, you know, who I am.
Yeah.
In 2021 was like living that and being unashamed.
And
myself.
I saw that.
I know. You
and
saw it in the height of it.
And it was beautiful.
It was,
I loved
it. It was the becoming.
Yes.
It was the metamorphosis phase, to be honest. Like, last year was like a real metamorphosis sort of phase for me. It was like, you know, coming out of that cocoon and sort of like discovering finding who I was and finding me. And now this year is like just
radically being
radically me, radically CLG the Great. And like, it's been such a liberating feeling because therapy has been that for me. Like I say to people all the time,
go for therapy.
It is like imperative. It is an absolute imperative journey. It is a marathon. Yeah. It's not a sprint. You're not going to figure it out in the first
session. That's how you're in therapy for 3 years.
Exactly. You know? Because only now do I feel like I am making some massive movement and change in my life.
Yeah.
Because based off the decisions and the relationships that I'm attracting.
Yeah. It's so funny. I'm going to go all the way back to where you started.
All the way back. All the way up.
It's so funny how you spoke about something that is so symbolic of how the human mind works. You spoke about the fact that you found yourself always attracting the same thing. Mm. You know, and some of those relationships, you were in therapy during some of those relationships where you see, because it's so funny how the human mind works. And then this is what drew me into studying human behavior, into studying psychology, because the human mind will always try to resolve stuff that it doesn't understand. It will always try and answer questions. Like, it's like, so I was just explaining to you earlier, after the whole Eskom thing happened, my shoulders started aching, and I started getting knots in my stomach. And I explained to you that I somatize. So when I'm not okay emotionally, my physical body
responds. You have a physiological response.
Yes.
I do that in uncomfortable situations with people. Not in this kind of situation. That's interesting how your body reacted.
Yes, but because I've gone to therapy and I know that that's how my body responds, now I'm able to listen. Okay, my shoulders are feeling a little bit tight because I'm a little bit upset about what happened.
Yeah.
So let's listen to that. Let's attend to that. And now I'm feeling better.
Recognize it.
Let's recognize it. Loosen it up. Mm. Speak about it. Mm. Cry about it.
Mm. And verbalize it. Yes.
But why is my mind signaling to my stomach that give her a cramp so that she recognizes that something is not right? Yes. So the mind always knows and it always tries to resolve things. And that's how we always find ourselves in the same path. Because if you have not resolved, what is it about you that puts you in that path? What is it about you that makes you think that it's okay to be in those parts? It will constantly take you back to the exact same place until you're able to resolve that, and then you'll be able to move past it. And that's why therapy is so important,
because it helps you unlearn that.
It helps you unlearn that, but it also helps you realize or figure out things about you that put you there in the first place. And as much as consciously, you in therapy and you know that if somebody speaks to me like this way, I don't like that. And instead of just brushing it off, I now have, the emotional strength or the capacity to be able to voice out when somebody says something that I like. But what is it about me that's making that person feel like it's okay to say that in the first place?
Am I allowing it? Like,
not necessarily am I allowing it, because remember, you're in therapy now. So now you know that if somebody says that to me, I'm not going to take it and I'm going to call them out.
Okay.
But why did they say that to you in the first place? Because you didn't do anything. You didn't say, come up to me and, try that thing with me. So what is it about me that makes other people feel like it's okay for them to say stuff like me to even begin with? And that's when you know. That's how we get to understand, and that's how, the therapist that you're seeing will actually be able to dive into your cognitive spheres and your unconscious level and your unconscious way of communicating with things. Because as human beings, not only do we communicate on a conscious level, not only do we interact with each other on a conscious level, but we also interact with each other on an unconscious level. That's why when you walk into, when you walk to a group of girls, you suddenly feel like this doesn't feel
maybe
right.
Maybe something doesn't
yes.
feel right.
Yes, and they might not have even said anything, but you'll just be like, vibe. No, yeah, they're just not vibe. I'm just not vibing with these girls, and I don't think I want to associate
with them.
Their
energy is just not vibrating on my frequency right now. Shout out to Jess.
And that's you having an unconscious conversation within that
reading.
Space.
You said this earlier, reading their energies, reading their vibes.
Reading their vibes. Yeah. And your mind or your body will do that.
Give a response to that.
Yes, will give a response to that. And because we're not trained to identify that, it will miscommunicate with the conscious level. So what the unconscious part will be saying one thing, but consciously you'll be hearing something else, and you'll be like, oh, well.
It's like the inner sort of like
yes.
internal battle that you'll feel
yes.
about a situation.
But you still do it anyway.
So you're consciously making decisions to maybe go ahead, like let's use that
yes.
group of girls as
yes.
an example.
And
go ahead
talk
and talk to
them.
But your unconscious
it's
is going,
telling
something's,
you that, no,
not
something's
right.
not right.
And you're fighting the two.
Yes. And you find that maybe your conscious, you're consciously like, ugh, suck it, let me just go greet them.
Yeah.
And you greet them. And it turns out they're nasty people, they're bullies, and it re-triggers mm. something that mm. happened to you mm. when you're in primary mm. school and you were bullied. And you know,
now you're
there
trying
was,
to fix it. Now you're trying to create
and now
a bit
you're
going to
be like, yes. And now there's going to be something about you that's not going to want to let go of these girls.
Yeah.
Because you're just like, damn it, I hate it. They remind me of the girls from third grade.
Yes.
But why am I not? And then, like, you'll still feel angry. You still feel angry towards them. You still feel resentment, towards them. But something about you just wouldn't want to, like, just let it go. Even if you don't see them again, but the interaction will constantly.
Even if they haven't done anything specific
yes.
to you, they remind you of something
yes.
that you've experienced before.
And you constantly find yourself, even if you're not seeing them physically ever again, but they'll always be in your mind because your unconscious is telling you that something is wrong here. There's something that you didn't deal with. Go back and deal with that so that whenever you're in a space like that again,
yeah.
you don't forget who you are. Because you'll find that you'll walk to those girls and you'll start becoming
altering.
The Carla that was in grade 3.
Mm-hmm.
Then you start finding yourself being submissive to them and they haven't even said anything
haven't
to you.
You I
you'll
mean,
start finding yourself offering them things that you shouldn't be offering them and they haven't even asked you of that because they're no longer interacting with Carla the Great.
Yes.
They're now interacting with Carla from grade 3.
Who was so easily influenced
was
and
so easily influenced.
So yeah, bullied or whatever it was.
Yes. So that's why it's so important. Sorry to cut you.
No.
To mend that relationship
with
yourself first, and to be able to identify it when that happens as well. So if I'm constantly meeting the same type of person, what energy am I giving off unknowingly that's
yeah.
attracting that? And let me go to therapy.
And why are those relationships, and this is something that like I really had to identify in my first year of therapy, was why am I attracting the same kinds of people?
What
am I
looking
for?
What are you looking for?
Because I don't
remember,
know.
Yes, remember, the reason why it always takes you to the same place is because your mind is trying to resolve that.
Yeah, it's trying to resolve things that may feel unresolved.
So it's trying to use all of these incidences in life to say, attend to that, resolve that, ask yourself, what is it about you that's constantly finding yourself in physical relationships?
What are you searching for?
What are you searching for? If I grew up in a home and my mom is constantly hitting my dad, I'm desensitized to that. That feels normal to me. But there's a part of me that knows that, no, man, this is not right.
Yeah.
I'm listening to or becoming by Nobili M and she speaks about the fact that physical abuse is not right. So, okay, I know that this is not right.
No, no.
But this is how I grew up, though.
So this is normal for
so
me.
So this is normal for me.
But it's
not
normal
right,
for my neighbor.
You know? And
yeah.
Yes.
Or my partner.
Yes.
Or whoever.
Yes. And then there's that sort of disagreement between you. Like,
yeah, it's your conditioning.
And then you're constantly finding yourself in abusive relationships and you're constantly finding yourself allowing, or you're constantly finding yourself in spaces where your partner's hitting you or where you are the partner that's hitting somebody else and you don't understand what is it about you that makes you find this okay? What is it about you that makes you see that, ish, why is it okay that this guy is hitting me? And like, because I know that it's wrong though.
Yeah.
But why am I
tolerating it?
Why am I tolerating it? And that's why therapy is important because it helps you, go deeper and deal with it and that unconscious level so that you can be able to resolve it there and it stops manifesting itself.
And not repeat
physically
those,
and you're not repeating the
same
behaviors.
Behaviors.
You're not attracting the same energies.
And I think what I realized is like after, you know, after a good sort of year and a half of therapy, I realized that there were certain things that my therapist made me aware of what I kept on repeating. And that's why I was attracting the same kind of people.
Yeah.
And I was feeling so unfulfilled in my relationships, not just relationships, but with friendships as well. I was attracting people that were belittling me, degrading me, making me feel unworthy, making me feel not good enough. And I would always walk away feeling so empty and so unfulfilled.
But that emptiness was familiar to you. It was just that repetitive,
toxic behavior that I was doing in all of my relationships. And not, you know, like I wasn't doing them, all of them, and you know, or not all the time, but I became so desensitized to my own behavior.
Yeah.
I was like, well, this is normal.
And rather stick with the negative feeling that you know, than try to explore a positive feeling.
And
where
that's
you're
a terrifying experience.
Girl.
It is terrifying. I mean, I was saying earlier, in my first few sessions of therapy, I walked in, I was like, cool, therapy's cool. Like, I'm woke now. Like, I'm cool now. I gotta go to therapy. And I sat down with my therapist and she was like, okay, cool. So let's say, and I never really understood why she kept on wanting to take it back to like when I was a kid. I was like, listen, yeah, I had a pretty normal childhood. Like, I'm okay. Like, you don't need
to. Parents are great.
Yeah,
okay.
My parents are loving. I have a beautiful sister. Like, you know, like, yeah, I grew up in a small town. So I wasn't really but like, you know, my parents were amazing. They loved me. They were supporting me. But, you know, there's obviously so many things that you don't realize. Like, I discovered things that actually happened to me in my childhood that I didn't even think about.
Yes.
That she made me unpack, that made me realize a specific relationship or a friendship that I had in high school or in junior school that was super significant in the way I now react to people, the way I now react to men, to women, to relationships.
Relationships.
Exactly.
Now, yeah.
Maybe my first relationship was, you know, like, it was obviously really important because it made me think about, is this what romance feels like? Is this what it feels like to be loved, to be wanted, to be intimate, whatever it was? And that maybe altered the way I saw my next relationship. Yeah. And then my next
100%. I actually like the fact that you're explaining it like that, because remember, you grow up with your family.
Yeah.
And like, you know that if I'm born and raised in this place by these people, these are good people, and whatever they're doing is what's supposed to happen.
That's what you think about.
Yes,
yeah.
And you know, they're doing great. But now I'm a teenager, now I'm 16, and now I'm realizing that, hey, I actually want to figure myself out.
Yeah.
So because you're so open, anything that anybody pours is
you're
gonna
influenced.
Form. Yes, it's gonna form the foundation of you. And how you perceive things moving forward. It's like when you build a house, you know, that first layer that they do underground and everything else they build is on top of that. It's literally
the foundation.
It's literally the foundation. It's literally the exact same thing. So you're growing up in a safe space where family, home, parents,
and you're protected,
everything
and
is
sheltered.
Great. Yes.
Hopefully.
And you don't know anything else other than that as well. So
exactly.
If that's why I'm saying that if you grow up in a household where even if there's maladaptive wrong things that are happening, but chances are you won't see it like that because that's all you know.
I mean, that's all you've grown up to understanding.
All. Exactly.
And then when you become sort of like a coming of age adult and you
and
a little
any,
bit more influenced.
Yes. And the first couple of significant relationships that you're involved in, of course they're going to change your thoughts about all of the other relationships that you're going to be involved in your life, because everything is going to be rooted in that. Everything is going to stem from that foundation.
It's crazy.
Whatever they said or however they treated
you, whatever.
It's always going to cement your
idea. Because it's the beginning of it.
Because it's the beginning.
Yeah, it's the beginning, and it's the inception of all your relationships. And like in the very beginning, in my sort of like first serious relationship when I was about 17, like bless him, I love him to death. Him and I are really good friends now, so that's really good. It's been like 10 years, so we don't need to worry about that.
You're such
a good person.
Nice person.
I know.
I need to be more like you.
Yeah, I'm way too forgiving. No, but you know what? We were young and we were silly and we were stupid. But like, he was a bit older than me as well. So he had like a very different way of thinking.
Yeah.
I mean, he was finished studying and working and, you know, doing all these things.
He's experienced
it already. He's experienced a whole different thing. I was in a trick. I was still like, I don't know what I want to do after school. I don't know what I want to eat for breakfast, let alone now study at varsity.
I can't defrost chicken.
I don't know. Mom, how do I? Yeah, exactly. Mom, how do I defrost chicken? Mom, how do I turn the washing machine on? Mom, what petrol do I need to put into my car that you've just bought for me? Because I am a spoiled brat. But like, I just didn't know what to do. And I was so like lost and so didn't know who I was. But that relationship, like I'm so grateful for that relationship because I learned a lot about myself.
Yeah.
I learned a lot about what it was like to be an adult and also how to just be a little bit aware.
Yeah.
And then my next relationships, you know, they obviously were very different. Like that was very different to my first one, or not necessarily my first one, but my first serious adult relationship. We're not going to go back into when I was like
14. Just happened now.
It just happened that way. And then my second one was like really sort of, it was a whirlwind and it was, you know, wonderful. And we were living together so early into our lives. Yeah. I was like an adult so quickly and I was like pushed into being, you know, this grown up at the age of 19. And I was like had a home and a cat and like, it was hectic. And then, you know, we grew apart and, you know, he went into his own sort of route and I went into my own route. And I mean, you know, traveled across the world to come back to be here for him. And then my last relationship was really significant in the way I saw myself and the way I formed my own self-esteem and perception of myself and confidence. And there was a lot of bad things. There was a lot of great things in the relationship, but there were a lot of bad things that happened in that relationship. And that really formed me. And that was like the breaking point for me to be able to go and seek help and seek therapy and be able to go on that. And that, I think, having that sort of now looking back, doing a lot of inward retrospective thinking, that was the reason why I was like, okay, I need therapy. I need to go and see someone, purely because it was layers of relationships. It wasn't just one relationship.
It's never just one.
Yeah. It could have been, like you said, one friend at school that bullied me, or it could have been a teacher that may have abused me.
Yeah.
It could have been a family member that have spoken down to me my whole life.
And it completely redirects your life story.
And it completely does. And I mean, yes, everything is a choice.
Yeah.
Healing is also a choice, I think. You need to choose to do that. Yeah. And I think closure is also a choice.
It is.
There's so many things that are choices, but sometimes things aren't done to you without your choice, without it being a choice.
I like that.
You don't know it's happening to you. You didn't choose it.
Yes.
You don't choose to be abused.
Yes.
You don't choose to be raped.
Never.
You don't choose to be belittled or degraded.
Yes.
But it happens to you and then it redirects your life into a different path.
I love the fact that you said that because I was just about to say that, you know, we also need to stop being so hard on ourselves as well because nobody
way too hard.
Yeah, it's like nobody, and my husband and I just did an episode about this, but nobody enters a relationship knowing that or wanting it to be abusive or wanting it to make
you want it to be
It to be great. You want it to be loving. You want it to yield good fruits for you. So let's start by not blaming ourselves for finding ourselves in spaces that may have made us feel like that, because always remember that the person that you're in a relationship with, just like how you carrying your own stuff based on all of the things that you've experienced, they're also carrying their own stuff.
Your baggage.
So you're dating him or her and she's coming with freaking 50 people. Or like 50 people's
worth of experiences.
Yes, people's worth of
Then you're coming with your 20 or whatever.
And your number five might clash with his number eight. And then
I'm
it's a whole different ballgame, you know. So we do these things wanting to find something that we're lacking.
Yeah.
We get into these spaces looking for something good, something that's a natural instinct in us as human behaviors. And if it doesn't work out like that, and if it doesn't yield the fruits that we're hoping that it will, that's okay. Let's recognize that. Let's call that for what it is. Let's take some time out and let's mend the relationship with ourselves. Let's
and not blame ourselves for the things that were done to us.
And not entirely, you know, you're healing when you're not blaming, when you're not in, how do I say this in a politically correct way? You know, you're healing when you're saying that, okay, Carla, what you did to me was wrong and I don't like that.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to hate you for it.
That's,
but it was wrong.
That was
and
a I'm level.
And it's okay that I never want to speak to you again. That's fine.
Yes.
You know?
That's a boundary. That
and
is
it's okay.
Boundary, yeah.
It's okay for you to be like that. And you know that you're healing when you can talk about it and maybe shed 3 tears.
Yes.
When you were shedding 6 tears before.
You're like having it. And then eventually becomes nothing.
And even if it doesn't, even if it ends at one tear, you know, it's the mere fact that you as a human are relating with the fact that this is some of the stuff that I may have been through, and some of it may have not been my fault. Some of it may have not been my abuser's fault as well.
Exactly.
And that's okay. What's important is that I always come back to myself, ask myself, what is it about me at that specific place of my life made me get drawn to this particular thing or to this particular person? Let me deal with that. What is it about me at this particular stage of my life made me see that as a green flag when yes. it was a red flag, and yes. let me deal with that. What is it about me made me at that particular point feel like this is okay and that this is normal and this is how our life is supposed to be, and let me deal with that, and let me mend my relationship with myself so that everything that I pour into or that I expect to pour into me is coming from a clean, healed, whole place. You know, and that's what therapy is. It brings you back to yourself. Earlier on, I told you about this meme that my friends always share with me, and they yeah. always laugh at the fact that you go to therapy and the therapist is like, first you need to forgive yourself. And you're just like, but what the hell did I do though?
Like, what did I do? I didn't do anything wrong.
But also it's because it's so much easier for us to blame ourselves we feel like we don't have the energy to blame the other person. So it's always easy to always pinpoint what was wrong with you that made the whole situation wrong, and not actually see that, hey, Carla, what you did was wrong and I did not like that, and that affected me in these particular ways. Rather, I'll be like, hey, you know what? Maybe I really did deserve to think of it like that. Mm. And then maybe it really is my, like, I should have said no, or I should have seen it coming, or I should have seen it as a,
you stop
as a
blaming yourself.
Then you stop
instead
blaming
of recognizing
yourself.
The other person's behavior was actually wrong.
But if you're true to who you are, and if you have a good relationship, and remember, a relationship is not always great. So you're not always going to have a great relationship with yourself as well. But it's a matter of coming back and being like, you know what? I was at neglected you here and there. I didn't actually consider your feelings here and there, you to yourself, but, I'm going to keep trying, and I'm going to keep working towards the self, and I'm going to go into relationships whole. So that I'm not looking for anything. Oh, so that not anybody
that
can
that.
Pour anything into me, because I'm already a full jar.
Full cup.
Yes,
full
jar. I'm already a full cup. And I'm going into relationships purely looking for companionship, purely looking for love.
Not
and
for
I'm
somebody else to make me whole.
And I'm expecting somebody who's going to come to me full as well. And if you go into it with that mindset, you're going to attract the same thing. Because broken attracts broken, unfortunately.
Yeah.
If a mirror breaks right now, you're going to try and piece all of the broken pieces together.
Yeah.
But if there's a whole mirror and a broken mirror, you're not going to try and match the whole
piece.
Yes. Unfortunately, all the broken pieces are going to have to come together to create one image.
Yeah.
So broken will always attract broken, or broken will always try to fix itself and like try to make itself fit into that picture, you know.
Exactly.
Sorry, I'm a very graphical thinker.
I love it. I'm like imagining broken mirrors and like full jars. Like, there's just so many things.
That's just how I think.
I was trying to draw it in my head. I'm not an artist, but I'm like just drawing all of these things in my head.
So that's why therapy is important. It brings us back to ourselves so that we're not going out there looking for something, because what you're looking for, you'll find.
Yeah.
And it might not be what you thought it would look like.
What do you think it is?
Yeah.
And I think that boils down to a lot of self-healing.
Yep.
Self-awareness.
Yep.
And really just identifying what it is that you truly want. Mm. And I think what we do as human beings, we focus so much on what we're, and this is just sort of like how I see things, because I'd say I'm a realist optimist.
Mm.
Maybe more realist, but let's go with like borderline optimist. I like to see the glass as half full. Mm. I don't like to see it as half empty. I like to have a mantra that I say every day. I'm happy, healthy, wealthy, kind, and grateful, because I truly believe it. And people ask me like, wow, that's a mouthful. Like, why do you say that? I'm like, because if I say it, it'll manifest. Mm. I'll be happy. I'll be healthy. I'll be wealthy. I'll be kind.
Mindful.
And I'll be grateful.
Yeah.
If you want to be all of that, you become such a mindful person of everything that you're
and
doing.
And you'll attract that as
precisely.
Well.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And when I started saying those things, I started realizing that I was attracting like-minded people who believed in the same things that I did. And what I was initially realizing, well, what I realized I was initially doing was focusing on the red flags instead of the green flags.
Yes. And there are green flags.
There are.
Yeah.
And now, like more recently than before, I have been focusing, recognizing the green flags in a person and going, cool, this is why him or her or they are amazing. This is what they are. This is what they have to offer the world. This is what's so great about them. Instead of me pinpointing, I don't like the way he chews, or I don't like the way that he leaves his clothes lying around, or I don't like the way she, you know, speaks badly about people. Whatever it is, it's important to notice the biggest red flag deal breakers in a relationship or in a new relationship because you don't want to waste your time. You don't want to waste their time. But it's also really important to realize, what are your green flags? What are your...
What are your red flags? What are my red flags? What are you bringing to the table that might hurt somebody else?
I mean, is your inability to communicate a red flag?
Yeah.
Is your...
And how is that affecting
How is that affecting the person who wants to communicate? Is it because you, I don't know, struggle to verbalize your feelings? Maybe that's a sign for you to go to therapy. Yeah. I struggled to verbalize my feelings. Mm. I couldn't talk because I was afraid to talk in my last relationship because I was afraid of what was going to happen next.
Yeah.
If I was going to be gaslit, and we're going to touch on that briefly, was I going to be gaslit? And I mean, I like to use this term gaslighting because I really think a lot of people misuse it. And I'm going to ask you for your perception on gaslighting and what it means.
For me, again, guys, like, I always think about things my own way, okay?
Which is good, because you have your own personal touch.
Because I have my own personal touch. The minute it makes you feel like what is real to you is not real, then it's gaslighting. So if I'm making you doubt the fact that this hurts you, but it's not that much of a big deal, though, Carla. Just get over yourself. It's not that deep. But to you, it is deep.
Yeah, it is deep.
And if I'm making you think that what is a reality to you is actual fact didn't really happen or isn't that big of a deal, I think that's gaslighting.
That is.
I see that as gaslighting.
That is 100%. I mean, I think I went through a lot of that in one particular relationship in my life because I kept on verbalizing like, this is just something that I'm not willing to tolerate. Like, I don't like this. This does not make me feel good intuitively.
Yeah.
And this is before I even knew what intuition was. Mm. Intuitively, I knew that it just didn't make me feel good.
Yeah.
And then he'd turn around and be like, you're unreasonable for thinking like this. This is the way I am.
Yeah.
You need just to deal with it.
Yeah.
And that was like something I was like, maybe this is what I just need to deal with. Like, maybe I'm being unreasonable. Maybe I am actually the one who's being ridiculous.
Maybe it really isn't that much of a
maybe
big
my
deal.
Standards are too high, or maybe I've just got unrealistic standards.
Yeah. So and let me adjust that about
Let me
myself.
Adjust that. Let me just stop, you know, like, let me let go of my deal breakers and just tolerate more.
Yeah.
And then I started believing that the way he thought was okay.
Right.
And then you know
it's
what I
right
did?
Way.
I inherently started treating other people the same way.
You became him.
I became
you
him.
You became exactly
I was
that.
Living in his shadow and I was being created and formed because of the gaslighting, of him going, you're ridiculous. Your feelings are invalid.
Yeah.
You should not feel like that.
You should not feel like that. And remember that the reason why you're going to stay in a relationship like that as well is because you're waiting for him to finally validate you.
Absolutely.
You're waiting for him to finally say that, yes, Carla.
I see
what
you.
You're
I
thinking,
hear you.
Yes. And the only way for you to do that is to become him, for you to talk like him and to think like him.
Because now I'm a carbon copy.
Because now you're a carbon copy. Mm-hmm. And now he's going to be like, yes, that's the way that we think.
That's the way
that's
the
way that we do.
You got to go
validating
now.
You.
And now the minute you get validation is only because
then
you are behaving just like
then
him.
Then it feels you. Then all you're doing is just replicating the same behavior.
And that's
becoming
crazy
the same
because
thing.
That was the time that I was validated was the time I was most like him.
Mm.
And then when I had to unlearn all of that in my first year of therapy,
it's hard.
I was like, but this is how I think. This is how I behave. This is how I react. This is how I treat people. This is how I do things. This is how I do business. There were so many things that I had been conditioned by my relationship, sometimes by choice because I was willing to tolerate a lot of it, by choice because I felt like that was the only way. And because he was somebody who told me he loved me and cared for me and protected me.
And if you love me, you can never hurt me.
100%.
If you love me, whatever it is
I mean,
that
love
you're
is
saying,
really
yes.
blind.
If you love me, whatever it is that you're saying is right. So if it's not right, then I'm not hearing it right.
And then you start doubting your upbringing. You start doubting the way your parents conditioned you, the way they taught you,
100%.
Their values, their morals. And then you're in this like weird space of like, who is actually right?
Who am I?
I'm ignoring my gut, yep, which is always
and
right.
And the gut doesn't stop talking as well. That's another thing that we forget.
It always
the
talks until you realize.
Until you listen. And the reason why we're always having this internal conflict is because the unconscious gut level will never stop talking.
Yeah.
You know, it will never stop telling you that, hey, man, this is not right.
It's actually funny you say that. Have you ever watched the series Manifest?
Yes.
Okay, you know when they get the callings and they ignore the callings? It's like
louder.
It gets louder and louder and more painful and more irritating.
But it doesn't stop.
But it doesn't stop, yep, until you honor it. And that is what was happening, yeah, towards the last few months of, yeah, that relationship. My gut, which I did not even know existed. I was like, this is my stomach. This is what digesting the food. Like, whatever. It's not like, this is before my spiritual awakening and my journey that I went, yeah, on. And it was like telling me something. And my body, like you said earlier, you had a physical, physiological, yeah, response to it. Your shoulders were tight. Your stomach was in knots. I was having physiological responses and I still get those because, yeah, those are now my triggers, which I've realized. Okay,
so
cool.
So now you're able to attend to it. When it happens, you know exactly what that is.
Back then I didn't know.
And you listen to yourself.
Exactly.
Like, okay.
I've now identified those. Back then I was going, oh no, this is just me sick. I've eaten something bad or I am just feeling a bit stressed. Yeah. And I blamed it on, yeah, my paranoia or my stress. Now
and
I know.
Food,
yeah.
And
the food and things that I was, so I was blaming on things that I was putting into my body or other people. I wasn't blaming the way I reacted to things and I wasn't identifying
seeing if what it really is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And now I had a moment in December where I was confronted with the situation that could have potentially put me in a massive downward spiral, but it also could have uplifted me and made me rise above the person that the situation was with and like the whole scene played out.
Yeah.
And initially I had a really awful physiological response. Mm. I started cramping. My stomach was hurting.
The diarrhea, girl.
I wouldn't be surprised. But I literally just started. I was having a
feeling
conversation with
sick.
A friend, and I immediately I went into an actual physical panic attack. But instead of like hyperventilating, I cramped and I couldn't even tell you.
You literally feel yourself.
I felt like
just
I was crunching
coming,
into
yes,
a ball. That is what I think.
Yes.
And my friend at the time, like who, well, still my friend, but like my friend who was with me at the time, he was like, oh my God, I'm seeing you have this response to a specific individual. And I didn't realize,
what
I mean, you were
that?
Talking about it earlier, like so blasé and so aloof, but like now I realize how badly triggered you are by this. And then I recognized it. I understood it. And I remembered, okay, cool. And I like, this is what my mom taught me when I was younger. She told me, you know, what are your five things that you can see?
Yes.
Four things?
I still do that right
senses.
Now in therapy, yeah.
It is the most amazing thing.
It's
like
such
connect
a powerful
all of your
tool,
senses.
Hey?
I mean, I've done it with a friend who's having a panic attack.
I do
attack.
It all the time.
I was like yesterday I was busy listening to a Jay Shetty podcast. Love Jay Shetty. And I was just listening to him and he was also, it's like how to, I can't exactly remember what the particular episode was all about.
Yeah.
But it was about like how to be a little bit more sort of
aware
and a little bit mindful,
yeah,
and a little bit more, how to explain, just
uncluttered. In the moment, yeah.
Yes, uncluttered and unblocking your negative emotions,
yeah,
or whatever it was. Like, you know, what is it? How do we just do things when we just don't feel like doing things?
Yeah.
We connect our senses,
yeah,
we reconnect with ourselves.
Yeah.
And so I did that. In that moment, I was like, okay, what can you see? What can you smell? What can you taste? What can you touch? What can you hear? And I brought myself back towards
back to
myself,
yep,
to the true essence. And I confronted the situation and I was like, I can handle this. I know how to handle the,
yeah,
situation.
You have
because
the tools now.
I have the tools to identify my triggers and be able to move forward from them.
Therapy gave you those tools, girl.
Therapy gave me those tools. You know, therapy is what really taught me,
yeah,
how to identify my behaviors,
yeah,
identify my triggers, and heal from them.
Yeah.
And I think what I really want people to take away from this, for whoever is listening, whoever has felt like they have been too afraid,
yeah,
to acknowledge that they need help, it's never too late.
It's never too late.
It's never, yeah, ever too late. And if you feel like one of your friends or your family members or your partner may need help, I urge you and I hopefully encourage you and inspire,
yeah,
you to go and seek a professional
help.
Because it was the, I say this to my friends all the time, like the therapy was the best thing I ever did because I don't think I'd actually be here.
Yeah.
I don't know if that would be losing my life to depression or just disappearing into myself, losing the true essence of myself, not having a job, not having a personality, not having friends. I could have been a complete and utter isolate. So I urge you and I encourage you to, you know, seek therapy. But if you don't know where a good place to start is, here, this is your first step, is listening to this podcast and then heading on over to Becoming by Mobile M and booking a initial consult with her. Just a chat. It can be a Zoom phone call. It can be an in-person conversation.
It can literally just be a conversation. You can just tell me about yourself. I know what I've realized when most people come in for their sessions is that somebody's just like, I just don't know where to start.
It's scary, but
I know. Trust that I'll know.
Trust the professional to guide you.
I'll know how to guide you to where you need to start. You just show up.
Because there's layers and layers and years of trauma and experiences and behaviors that you're going to unpack. You don't know where to start. You're not the professional. Show up is the first step. Well, booking the session is the first step. Because I mean, you can't just rock up because you need to book a session. So book a session and the best place, well, my opinion would be to start with Nobile and just give her a call, pop her an email, whatever it is. You can find her on her Instagram.
Yes, NQOBILEH.M
on Instagram. And please go find her on her podcast channel, on her YouTube channel, and listen to her incredible content on mental health, on love, on relationships, on life, marriage, everything.
Yeah. Drop me an email as well if you might feel like that may be comfortable. It's the same, NQOBILEH.M1@gmail.com.
There we go. I'll also pop that into our content on the pages.
Yeah.
And I think This has been incredibly enlightening.
I've learned so much just from this conversation.
This is the second time we've had this conversation today. And we even learned more.
It feels so different from the first one.
The first one, I mean, without Eskom's little interruption.
It was great.
It was beautiful.
But I do think that this is better.
And I think we covered so many amazing topics. Yeah. And I just wish that whoever's listening to this takes a little bit away from this.
Yeah. And remember, mental health matters. Your mental health matters. Always.
Guys, I just want to say thank you, Mobile. Thank you for
so
being here
for
tonight.
Me.
And I'm so grateful. And go give her a little follow on Instagram. Yay! You guys know you want to go give her a follow. And that is an absolute wrap on a fantastic episode on all things emotional abuse, gaslighting, narcissists, and just identifying the true essence of who you are and sticking to it. And that is it, guys. You heard it straight from Nobile M. Oh, we unpacked some heavy topics tonight. So I hope you guys learned something from this episode. If you'd like to get in touch with Nobile, you can get her on Instagram at NobileH.M. That's NQOBILEH.M on Instagram. And please don't forget to go and subscribe to her YouTube channel. She has her own podcast called Becoming by Nobile M. A beautiful and empowering space where she discusses all things mental health. And I really think you guys should give it a listen. And don't forget to follow your host, Carla Louise Gailey, on Instagram. You can find me. Please don't be shy to hit me up. I love getting messages. I love getting suggestions on topics of what you guys want to hear about, you guys want to listen to. So don't be afraid to pop me a message because I will very likely reply. And of course, a special shout out to Life and Style 88FM for providing this platform for me for this amazing podcast that I've had the ability to run with. I'm really excited about. You can find Life and Style 88FM on Instagram. Life and Style 88FM is their Instagram handle. Follow them on Facebook. Download the app on the web. And don't forget to follow us on Spotify and click that bell button. Until next time, guys, stay happy, healthy, wealthy, kind, and grateful. CLG out.